Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Since this program began, I have met one amazing woman after another. Today is no exception. Seattle-based Michelle Westmoreland is an internationally recognized underwater and conservation photographer who, through her business, Westmoreland Images, has created a vast library of images from all over the world. Her book, Ocean Duets, published in 2006, focuses on the beauty of the underwater world. She is a founding fellow of the International League of Conservation Photographers, a fellow national of the Explorers Club, a member of the Society of Women Geographers and Wings World Quest, and in 2011 was inducted into the Women Divers Hall of Fame. Michelle is a much sought-after speaker who has lectured all over the world. While her topics are usually of a marine and cultural nature, she prefers to share the story of Caroline Meitinger, a young American portrait painter who, with her friend Margaret Warner, set out from San Francisco in the 1920s on a four-year journey to the South Pacific to, in Caroline's words, record some of these people before they vanish forever. Two books, published in the 1940s, chronicled this fantastic adventure: Headhunting in the Solomon Islands, and New Guinea Headhunt. It was 80 years later, in 1995, that Michelle came across the pair's story. In 2005, in an effort to tell their tale and introduce Caroline's art to a new audience, she and several others embarked on a two-month expedition, retracing their journey to Melanesia all those years ago. Currently, Michelle's team is working on Headhunt Revisited with brush, canvas, and camera, a documentary and a companion book. The Meitinger Project also introduced the world to Papua New Guinea portrait painter Jeffrey Feger, who today offers his own interpretation of Caroline's paintings. Moreland's the project director, executive producer, expedition leader, and, of course, photographer. Oy, there is so much to talk about, so let's meet Michelle Westmoreland. Welcome, and thanks so much for joining me today, Michelle.
I'm very excited about this interview. And of course, I'm always excited to talk about Caroline Meitinger.
Well, before we set sail for the South Pacific, I read that you worked in the corporate world for more than 20 years before bagging that to pursue your passion for photography. So talk to me about that transition.
I did. You know, corporate life in real estate was an adventure in itself. But what it did is it taught me a lot about the business world. The one thing I knew was that I could not read another 100-page lease document for the rest of my life. And photography was my passion.
So that was your hobby?
It was my hobby at the time. But I started making a direction towards making it a full-time career.
So what did you first photograph professionally? What did your first check come from?
It came from my marine life stories. When I moved to Miami in a corporate position from California, I had to give up my snow skiing. So I took up scuba diving. And once I picked up an underwater camera system, that was it. Because the marine life is amazing. It's amazing to photograph. It's amazing to learn. So I became obsessed.
And so then you just started taking pictures of the flora and the fauna.
I did. And it was just amazing. And it gave me the bug to start traveling because I wanted to see more diversity in marine life around the world. And so it took me on a new journey.
And is that how Westmoreland Images was born?
Pretty much. When I developed storylines and got published and then started working with stock agencies, it gave me that opportunity to start stepping out. And being published is the first step.
So talk about Ocean Duets. Where were those pictures taken? Tell me the genesis of this book.
Well, I wanted to look at a theme to a book that would engage and engage a cross audience, you know, as far as age groups are concerned. So I came up with the idea of photographing pairs of marine life creatures, from the tiniest of shrimp to whales. It took me 6 years to collect enough images for my small book, Ocean Duets, because, you know, they just don't staple these creatures in pairs to the reef.
So where did you go to take these pictures?
I went around the world. A lot of the images are from Melanesia and Papua New Guinea. But I did go to places like Cocos. There's some from the South Florida area, Hawaii. So some pretty magical places to find images of pears.
So you were familiar with Melanesia long before you discovered Carolyn Meitinger.
Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, my very first trip was when I to Papua New Guinea was in 1991, and I was still in a corporate environment at that time. What I wanted to do was, you know, I had at that time, I had the ability to travel to places because, you know, I had an income stream, wasn't in a full-time pro level yet. And I wanted to go to one of the most exciting new places on the planet. And I did some research and spoke with some people, and they said Papua New Guinea is the new place to go diving for the marine biodiversity. So there I was on a plane to halfway around the world, and that's when I just got hooked. It only took one trip before I was totally hooked with the area.
And you went by yourself? You did it all alone?
No, actually, I went with a friend at the time. Didn't want to travel to someplace quite so unknown on my own, and it was good to share the experience with another photographer.
So let's now move from your underwater experience to getting acquainted with Carolyn Meitinger. How did that happen?
Well, I'd already made two or three trips to Papua New Guinea, and again, mostly to photograph the marine biodiversity. But a friend of my family who was dying of cancer had this extraordinary library, and I went to say my goodbyes to Marie. And she handed me this book titled New Guinea Headhunt, written by Caroline Meitinger. You know, I didn't realize what the impact would be until a few months later when I read her story, started to do some initial research, and discovered she basically died in obscurity. What it really opened my eyes to was just how diverse and unique and amazing the culture in Papua New Guinea was. And that just drove me to, as I say, raise my head above the surface and take a look at the people.
But it was something special about Caroline that attracted you to her, wasn't there? Look at what she did.
She was totally ahead of her time. You know, no was not a part of Caroline's vocabulary. For a woman to travel with another friend, a high school friend of hers, Margaret Warner, to plan and travel to such a remote place in the 1920s was totally against the grain. You know, she was expected to be a wife, a mother, you know, all of those kind of things. And she actually was married for a short time. And her husband, Dr. Stover, I found a beautiful love letter written to Caroline from Dr. Stover, releasing her to the world because he knew he couldn't keep her. She was just so full of energy and wanted to learn more about people around the world. And for her to do that was amazing. And it was amazing for him to just let her go and be who she wanted to be.
Well, how did she first get interested in the people of the South Pacific?
Well, she started out trained as a young artist in Cleveland. And some of her studies that she did was as a model. And what she did, she learned portraiture under some of the most famous portrait artists of her day. She was known as one of the original Gibson Girl models because Caroline, in her own right, was absolutely stunning. What she wanted to do long-term was to document people who have not been impacted by colonialists and had pure tradition left. And so when she did her research after going to Guatemala and Haiti, a couple other places to paint portraits of the people, she discovered that Melanesia was still rich with the purity of their culture, but also knew that colonialization was happening and they would be impacted.
So she was a respected artist before she launched this expedition.
Well, she was new and young, and her career hadn't really launched as yet, but she was very talented and recognized by a lot of people for her talent.
I'm talking today with Michelle Westmoreland, an internationally recognized underwater and conservation photographer who launched an expedition to the South Pacific based on this amazing attraction she had for this American portrait painter, Caroline Meitinger. So, Michelle, you get really turned on by what these two young women did. They go by themselves across the Pacific to the South Pacific. When did you get the idea that you were going to retrace their steps? Take us on that journey.
You know, that journey was several years of research. Number one, I had to really understand both of her books, Hunting in the Solomon Islands and New Guinea, A Headhunt, to understand a little bit about her journey. Then I had to try and find out, where did those paintings go? You know, she returned with 25 oils and a myriad of sketches. And I didn't know where they were, what quality they were, or what condition they were in. Mm-hmm. It took several years to discover where they were located.
And where were they located? Were they just sort of hidden away?
They have been hidden away. You know, when she returned in 1930, she was exhibited at the American Museum of Natural History under the auspices of Margaret Mead. And the exhibition traveled until 1935. But you have to remember that that was the height of the Great Depression. So, you know, they were put away in 1935 in crates and have not been seen by the public since.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I discovered him, it was a couple days before Christmas one year. And I just happened, you know, the internet was really starting to grow with information. And I plugged in Caroline's name one more time. And up came this brand new website from the Phoebe Hearst Museum of Anthropology that listed a collection of Caroline Meitinger oils. I can't tell you, that was probably one of the best Christmas presents I've ever received.
Now, that's out in San Francisco. That's kind of in your neighborhood.
California at Berkeley, in my neighborhood, so to speak. I made contact with the museum, got permission from the accessions and collections manager, and flew down to take a look at these paintings. You know, we walked in this huge warehouse, million square foot warehouse with about 3 million pieces of art, all crated and packed. And we went to this one area where Caroline's artwork was stored. And I have to tell you, when the collections manager pulled out the first painting, the first oil, we were all stunned.
Wow.
The beauty, the quality, the colors, the hues of these paintings, and they are in marvelous condition.
So the Phoebe Hearst Museum had all 25 of Caroline's works painted while she was in the South Pacific.
Well, they actually have 23 of the 25. One is in a private collection, a wonderful woman who knew Caroline before Caroline passed away. And then another one is missing. We're not sure if it's part of a mural that was stapled together. We're not sure where it went. But having 23 of these oils and over 40 sketches was so exciting.
So then what happened to you with her?
Well, I learned more and more about her. I discovered that the Monterey Museum of Art had some major scrapbooks that Caroline kept. Caroline lived the last 40 years of her life in Monterey, California. And so I had the ability to connect with the Monterey Museum, went down and went through Caroline's scrapbooks. She was very meticulous about keeping good records of her stories and her life. And it was just magical opening up these scrapbooks and seeing who Caroline really was. And so many stories to tell.
As you're doing your research, when does it hit you that you're going to follow in her footsteps?
You know, I knew it was really important. Women of exploration in those days don't always get recognized. They're few and far between. I mean, there's women like Amelia Earhart, Mavina Hoffman, who, you know, was an artist. But there are just wonderful stories out there. But Caroline's really resonated to me for many, many reasons and on many levels. And in addition to that, one of the things that I learned about Caroline, because when you look at photos of her, you automatically assume that, well, she could do that because she came from a wealthy family. I've seen some reference to Caroline as being, you know, from a high society. Well, Caroline and Margaret were neither. Huh. They were just young women in Cleveland, and they raised the money themselves to do this journey. Caroline, by painting portraits in Cleveland of some locals to raise a few pennies, and Margaret, who was a musician, stood out in front of restaurants in Cleveland and played her violin to raise money for the trip.
That is crazy. That is just crazy.
And they left with they left San Francisco after driving across country with all their supplies, with little more than $400 in their pocket to, as Caroline said in one of her books, to ship the bodies home in case something happened.
Good grief. And it was only the two of them that set sail? Nobody else?
Only the two of them. Unlike other expedition teams of that time period that were well-funded and had, you know, a large team, whether it was anthropologists and filmmakers who went, no, it was just Caroline and Margaret.
I just can't wrap my head around this. So you start now thinking, if they could do it, I can do it.
Much easier for me, you know, with my relationships and friendships in Papua New Guinea and in Pidgin, friends are called Wontoks. And my Wontoks in Papua New Guinea have all been so helpful to me in providing information or getting the logistics in place. And of course, it was much more comfortable for me because I was on a liveaboard dive boat that had air conditioning. So it wasn't quite as difficult. What was challenging was to map where Caroline went. It took Dick Doyle, who was our historian, since deceased. We miss Dick. But it took him a year reading Caroline's books to map exactly what villages she went into, where she went, so that we can construct our expedition appropriately.
So how many people did you rally to set sail with you, and where did you get the money?
Well, raised funds, some self-funding. I knew that it was something I really wanted to do and felt so compelled to tell Caroline's story. And it took about 3 years to get everything in place for the expedition. I took a filmmaker who is a Nat Geo Discovery Channel shooter because I needed somebody in filmmaking who was a professional, really knew how to capture that footage. Audio man, another photographer joined me, along with an anthropologist who is Papua New Guinean, Dr. Andrew Motu. We had Dick Doyle, our historian, and of course the crew of the MV Fabrina, which was the vessel we used to go to do the expedition.
So you left when?
Left in April of 2005.
How long did it take you to get there?
Getting there was at least a 34 to 36 hour jaunt to get through Australia and up into Papua New Guinea. It didn't take us long to get there if you want to compare it to Caroline's terms.
Hello, yeah.
Once there, you know, we set up the team and we took off on a journey that was absolutely amazing for ourselves. And, you know, meeting the people in these various villages where Caroline painted was absolutely an amazing story. I photographed, with the permission of the Phoebe Hearst, I photographed all the paintings and artwork. And I was allowed to make up stacks of prints of the artwork to take with us. And, you know, those prints were like a key to the village.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you'd go from village to village, kind of handing out these prints of Caroline's work.
Well, we would sit down. It was an introduction because a lot of times if you, all of a sudden this vessel appears in the bay, you know, in front of a village, they're wondering who and why you're there. And it was a good way to break that ice and engage the community in conversation. So many times we would spread these prints out with the elders and headmen in the village and have conversations about them.
Now, did the elders know about Caroline?
Had no clue.
No clue.
Absolutely no clue.
Where does Jeffrey Feger come into this young painter from Papua New Guinea? He has a bit of Caroline's style, correct? He's a portrait painter as well.
He is a portrait painter, but what I felt I was missing over the past few years was to have a voice of Papua New Guinean or Melanesian, because, you know, I mean, it was Caroline's story, a white woman from America, and I'm over there telling Caroline's story and doing research, but I'm from America. So how do I engage more from the community, from the local community? And it was in 2011, I was introduced to Jeffrey. And when I saw his portrait work, I was absolutely stunned by his talent. He's remarkable.
So you met him here in the States?
I actually met him for the first time, spoke with him in Papua New Guinea. I was able to connect with him here in New York a year and a half ago when he was invited to paint live at the New York Arts and Music Festival, which is quite the honor, and he painted on stage.
Wow.
But when I engaged with Jeffrey, I showed him Caroline's artwork. And he looked at me and he said, you know, these portraits are very important for my people. They're not going to have a chance to see them unless we continue to tell this story. And it's a record. It's a record of their past, because a lot of the body decor has changed. You know, we all cultures change. So the historic content is extremely important.
I'm talking today with Michelle Westmoreland, an internationally recognized underwater and conservation photographer. So where are we today with Caroline's work? You went on this trip knowing full well you were going to make a documentary.
It's always been the dream, is the dream, and we are now in early post-production and continued fundraising for that post-production to complete the film. I'm working with a really great team to, you know, to complete the film. Sandy Jeglom is doing a lot of early editing work, and I have a producer. I have advisors that I'm very proud to have engaged in the project, Dr. Joshua Bell from the Smithsonian Institute, who is an expert in Papua New Guinea as well, is offering his expertise, and just a great team of people. But it's, you know, not having done documentary films before, it's been a new educational process for me as to how challenging it can be to produce a documentary.
But you're not afraid to do that. Nothing scares you.
Oh, trust me, I do have moments of fear and sweaty palms. But, you know, the story is so compelling. I'm, you know, so passionate about getting Caroline's story back out into the public. And I really am hoping that her paintings will come back into view, that this documentary will get done. And the bottom line, the end result will to be also to have North Americans and a Western population become much more familiar with Melanesia and just how culturally diverse and rich it is. And that there's so many talented people like Jeffrey Feger that come from that area. So I think it has a multitude of legs and stories and end results that can come out of the film.
Well, your documentary also has a companion book. My guess is that you've done all the photographs for that companion book.
Yes, and that's in the works too. I have a writer that's working with me, Deborah Kirk. She's extremely talented. She knows this project backwards and forwards. And she's also been doing additional research on Caroline just to get even more essence of her personality. But it is to travel and be along with, hopefully, an exhibition of Caroline's paintings again, and to roll out with the documentary film. Again, that's all being discussed right now. Deborah's doing a lot of the writing, and we're getting some proposals together.
What does it feel like to have been on a mission? Did it happen with your book? Or is this just something very different?
Well, you know, it is very different, because this is even on a more personal level to me, because, again, connecting with a woman who, and two young women who were so strong and determined to go do something extraordinary, you know, the things that I've been able to participate in, I don't think are as nearly as extraordinary as what Caroline and Margaret did, but it gets me out to see the world in a different way. It's taken my photography in a much broader direction and a much more sensitive direction. Because even when I tell marine life stories, today, for whether it's for a publication or giving lectures, the one thing that I'm very strong about is that we need to connect to the human side. Those villages, those residents on the shorelines where we're diving and looking at the marine life are connected to that environment. They depend on the health of that environment. So it all wraps into this bundle. And yes, it's a lot.
So in other words, some of us just might have been dismissive.
That is very true. I have gone on many trips for diving and for marine life photography where other participants in that area diving were only interested in the marine life, only interested in photographing, you know, the fish and the reefs, and didn't have an interest in who the people were. And I find it, you know, sad that we don't take a look, you know. And so I'm trying to encourage those people in the diving community and interested in marine life making that connection. Find out who the people are.
But was that you in the beginning, Michelle? Were you like that in the beginning?
Very much so. I was very myopic, you know, one direction, marine life only. And this whole story and Caroline's story has really opened my eyes.
That's wonderful to see that, you know, how you were able to evolve.
It doesn't stop because the research that I've been doing on Caroline's story and learning more about Melanesian culture, I've gained so much more knowledge. That doesn't mean I make mistakes from a cultural sensitivity side to a variety of things because I can't know everything, but I continue to learn. And if I can get the viewer out there through this documentary film and story, hopefully people will open their eyes, you know, as to culture and how rich it can be and how important it is and how, yes, we evolve and we change, but tradition and you know, the past is really important.
Are you able to work on other projects in conjunction with the Mittenger Project?
You know, I do. I still, you know, do some marine life stories and shoot some commercial venues to help pay the bills. You know, that's what we have to do as photographers. But I'm setting a lot of that aside now because I really feel compelled. I've got to get this documentary film done. I need to get back out on the lecture circuit. I had some amazing lectures I gave in November. And just hearing the audience and seeing how interested and engaged they are only inspires me more to focus on this project and give it 100% of my time to bring it to completion.
How wonderful that you can bring their story, Margaret's and Caroline's story, to the fore and breathe new life into theirs. I mean, it's extraordinary. And it was just kind of happenstance. You weren't planning to do this.
You know, sometimes I wonder if they're, you know, there's always a reason things happen. There was a reason I was given this book from Marie. And, you know, just my passion for that part of the world. I don't know. I try and think about identifying where that all comes from. I'm not absolutely sure, but it sure has been a gift.
How many times have you been back?
There's a variety of islands that make up Melanesia, Fiji, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea. But I've been back to that territory 29 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
When was the most recent?
Actually, not that long ago, a year ago. And I'm planning my 30th trip in May. And that is to lead a cultural photography tour through Visionary Wild. I love doing that because it helps me tell these stories and it opens people's eyes again to how rich the culture is.
I, for one, cannot wait till this documentary comes out. I'm very excited to see it. And I'm really grateful for the work that you do. And I think it's just so exciting and inspirational. And boy, I was right about another amazing woman. And here you are, Michelle. It's been a real pleasure to get to know you and have this conversation with you today.
Thank you so much, Sandy. And it's been my honor.
Well, I look forward to seeing your work on screen. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.